There is so much confusion about race. It's used, the race card, it's used to divide people. And the tragedy is it divides believers. Today, I want to make sure we're not getting caught up in that division. The world wants us to pull out our crayon box and draw with colors. Everybody's a color. Oh, what's your color? Put that crayon box away. We're made in the image of God. We are way more complex than the color of our skin. It's an insult to our intelligence that these people want to divide over something like that. I got a big nose. You want me to divide over people who've got a little nose or a big nose? No. You're made in the image of God. You have value because He made you. You are complex. You are unique. You're amazing. The only division the Bible is concerned about is whether you are living in sin or whether you have repented and are living for Him. Amen. The world's not going to talk about whether you're in spiritual darkness or in spiritual light because they want the whole world to live in spiritual darkness. We want to draw people out of the darkness and bring them into the light. Amen. And that is what our message is about this morning. It's about cutting through the confusion, not getting distracted by the philosophies that the world want us to do and be distracted by. They're playing sleight of hand tricks out there. They want you to look over here while you whistle a happy tune to hell. That's what Satan wants. He's so twisted, he doesn't want people whistling a happy tune. He wants them depressed and pessimistic and living, thinking they're oppressed by every single person around them. He wants them with a scowl on their face as they go to hell. We're going to take that scowl away. We're going to turn people around. We're going to turn them to God. And when your heart and your eyes are turned to God, you got a smile on your face. You're not living depressed and sad. You've got life. And that is what you've got if you come here. We're going to give you life. We're going to set you up. We're going to pump you up for this next week so you don't get caught up in these lies that the world around us gives. If you notice there, we've got notes for you to fill out today. This is a series called Trends versus Truth. And here at Grace Baptist Church, truth is always trending. Truth is always trending here at Grace Baptist Church. That's what we want hitting the news feed, the truth. The trend that we're looking at today is called critical race theory, and I've given you some notes to fill in. You can make sure to do that as we go through. I'm not sure I'm going to get to everything I want to say about this topic, so I've actually got additional notes in the back, a double-sided page that gives more information. But I'm going to try to get through this in a reasonable amount of time so that you guys can be equipped and you can let critical race theory be like water off a duck's back. You just let it slide on. I heard another guy in this podcast say, you let it be like butter on hot cakes. You let it be like butter on pancakes. Hear critical race theory, you say, oh, this will be easy to deal with. This is a myth. Quit race baiting. Quit trying to draw people with simple little brushes. People are made in the image of God. They have a problem because they are living for themselves and not for God. And that's what we need to make sure people know. Get right with God. That is the key thing. We live in a world of itching ears. If you're filling in notes there, that's the first two fill in the blanks there. We live in a world of itching ears. Now, I'm not talking about the kind where you've got some kind of medical issue where, you know, your ears are flaking off, the skin on there. If that's true for you, you got to go to the doctor. You got to get some cream or something and fix that. No, we're talking about the itching ears that the Bible talks about, and that's referring to philosophies of the world. People's souls are itching for the truth, But instead of letting God's word scratch that itch, they let it be itched by lies. I've heard people say critical race theory is the same old horse, just a different jockey is being ridden on it. The horse is Marxist theory. Karl Marx was a godless atheist who wanted to stir up trouble. He wanted to divide society. He wanted everyone to think the world is made up of the oppressed and the oppressor. And you're the oppressed. And he didn't use race to divide people. He used class warfare. The bourgeoisie and the proletariat were the words that he worked around, and he tried to get societies to be broken up. He wrote the Communist Manifesto to try to say, everyone with money's bad, give it to me, I'll take care of your problems. That was the horse that he was driving on, but he used class warfare to divide people. Critical race theory, it's the same horse dividing people, but it uses race to try to separate people. What's your color of skin? And that means you're oppressed. What's your color of skin? Well, that means you're an oppressor. It's like being back in kindergarten and they tell you, see this crayon? See this crayon you carried in this? Well, you're bad if you're holding this one. You're good if you're holding that one. I'm just sick of how simplistic it is. People need to wake up. We are not defined by the color of our skin. Martin Luther King Jr. said he dreams of a world where people are not judged by the color of skin, but the content of their character. Critical race theory does not say what Martin Luther King Jr. said. It says you are defined by the color of your skin. And it's so deep in you, you'll never be able to recover from whatever color of skin you got. We know these kind of philosophies have to be recognized and dealt with because the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, a time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teaching that will satisfy their passions. And it seems strange that people's passions would be satisfied by a world and a philosophy that labels people as this race, this oppressive group or that oppressive group. It's not going to bring any joy. Black Lives Matter protesters, never happy people. You never see a happy one of them. They're always angry. Critical race theory people too. It's built into the philosophy. You're going to be mad and angry and hate life. And there's no solution. Did you know that critical race theory doesn't even give a solution? That's why it upsets me. I mean, if you're going to say there's a problem, give a solution. These people feed off of the problem. As many people can get suckered into it, that they can gain power and they can have influence. But people, don't look at that for a solution. I'm going to show you, even in the history of it, that it is not given a solution. God's word is where we turn for the solution. God's word doesn't even say races exist the way these people would define them. It says there's one race. Even geneticists say 99.9% of every human being is made up of the same DNA. So it doesn't matter who you are, you're talking to another human being, you're 99.9% the same as that person. It's just the 0.1% that is different. Bring that up with people. Color is not something to divide. It's something that brings us together. We all came from the same two people. Be amazed at that. Wow, your skin is, our skin used to be the same. Amazing. Be amazed at God. Don't be caught up in what certain sinful human beings have done. Turn to God. So critical race theory, what's a working definition here? What does it teach? Critical race theory, a critical race theory proponent has defined it like this. It teaches ideas that free human beings from circumstances that enslave them. It liberates human beings from circumstances that enslave them. Max Horkheimer was the one who wrote that. And he was actually a German philosopher who was a proponent of critical theory, which I'll talk about in a minute. So what is the philosophical history behind critical race theory? I think this is important to study, to know about, because it helps you realize this isn't a new idea. You know, they would want you to think this just originated organically because of certain events that are happening in our society today. No, this goes way back. And I could give you a really long explanation, but I want to shorten it for you, try to keep it short and sweet. If you have other questions, you can go look at these handouts I made in the back. The main people I want you to know about are Karl Marx, Charles Darwin, the Frankfurt School, and Derrick Bell. Okay, Karl Marx, I've already mentioned him. He was a German philosopher who actually had such disruptive theories, he got kicked out of Germany, moved to France. They kicked him out of France. He moved to London, England. He kept below ground, so to speak, lived most of his life as a very poor scholar. And after he died, his ideas were caught on, and people thought, hey, we could use this, and we could try to change things as a result. Now, Darwin has an impact in the conversation about critical race theory because he was the most racist of them all. He had the audacity to try to convince people that your certain type of skin means you come from a certain kind of monkey. And if you got, of course, what did he say for the kind of skin he had? He said, oh yeah, we came from the monkeys with bigger brains, so we're smarter. But you, oh, sorry, you don't have the same skin color as me. You came from monkeys with small brains, little ones. It means you're dumb. There's nothing you can do about it. And actually, it took a horribly sinister twist, and people used that. Along with their sinful nature, they used that as a scientific justification to allow for slavery. To say, oh, these people aren't real people. They don't have souls. We can do what we want to them. I mean, it's tragic. And you know, when people talk about critical race theory, they want to have a reason for why slavery existed around the world and why so many people suffered. And we know people suffered. Slavery is horrible. Slavery should never be allowed. People are made in the image of God. You don't have the right to force them into working without pay. They should be free. They have value. Unfortunately, science was used as a justification, largely with Darwinian theory, to say, oh, but the science books say these people are different and we can treat them this way. This is when people's doubt of science started to grow. They realize you can use science for your own personal gain. And that's why as Christians, we are skeptical of science, as we should be. It's a worldly philosophy. There is science that aligns with Scripture, but any that does not, we say, no, thank you. Put your crayon box away. People are not that simple. People are complex and are made in the image of God, and that's how they have value. After Darwin, the Frankfurt School developed in Germany around the time of World War II, and these people believed not only was certain groups in society oppressive, but Western society as a whole was oppressive. Christianity in particular was oppressive, saying that there's a right and a wrong. Well, they wanted to set people free from the teachings that the church often propagates in Scripture. One of them, Ludwig Feuerbach, wrote that Christianity is passé. We've moved past it. You have to laugh to keep from crying for the poor guy. Where are you now, Ludwig Feuerbach? We're in a church talking about the truth of Scripture. Did your theory that Christianity is dead last very long? No. It's just foolishness of the world. The Frankfurt School actually moved from Germany to America and took root at Columbia University in New York and became very popular in scientific groups. One person who realized they could grow and benefit from this supposedly was the man named Frederick Bell. He was the first African-American law professor at Harvard University. He bought into critical race theory and actually is called the father of critical race theory. If you want to know, you know, who's the father of critical race theory, many people agree it's this guy, Frederick Bell. He used his tenure at this law school to try to convince many more people that he was right and that law should be studied in terms of race. You know that image of the statue where Lady Justice is blind and she has a scale in her hands? He said, take that blindfold off and look deeply at people and see what color their skin is and make your judgments based off that limited guideline. If they have this color skin, you push down the scale. If they have that color skin, you lift it up. It completely twisted the way law is to be made and allowed it to become, they wanted it to become mainstream. So I think if you know those names that I mentioned, you have an accurate understanding of the philosophy that this came from. Can you see how a society like America could feed off of a simplistic idea that problems exist because of skin color? Our country as a whole is made up of an amazingly diverse amount of skin color. Critical race theory just doesn't work in some places where there are almost everybody has the same skin color. But in a place like ours, where there unfortunately has been a tragic history of people abusing power and putting one group of people into slavery, they've realized, oh, this scratches that itch. The world is full of oppressors. It feeds a victim mentality. And it just takes off. Because doesn't everybody like to be a victim? Doesn't everyone, if you get in an accident, do you want to go and say, oh, no, actually, it wasn't your fault. Don't worry about it at all. I'll take care of that myself. No, all of a sudden you turn into a victim. Oh, man, my back's hurting. Man, was it this leg or that leg? I remember getting in an accident where two motorcycles hit into me when I was in Thailand driving. It was in a long vehicle. I turned and both of them hit the front side of my car, which means they hit me before I had finished turning. And I remember these poor guys, you know, we weren't going that fast, so they didn't get hurt very much. And we got out of the car, and I remember one guy trying to see, you know, how much am I hurt here? I did not have much mercy for these guys. You hit me, two motorcycles at the same time. Well, of course, they're going to build it up. They want to be the victim. They want it to look like it's your problem. This is a human nature. Sinfulness, selfishness feeds this kind of philosophy, and critical race theory makes everybody a victim if your skin is a certain color. If it's not a certain color, then you're the one who caused the problems of all the victims. The science behind it is just ridiculous. I think I'm going to get to that in a minute here. But I want to make this point, if you're taking notes there, it's the same horse, just a different jockey. Critical race theory is the same horse, just a different jockey. Instead of it being based on class warfare between how much money you have and how much you don't have, it is what color skin you have or don't have. Now, how can you see some of the current manifestations of critical race theory? Before I get into this, I got to make sure, is everybody cool enough out there? The room heats up as I get going. As I fire up, the temperature in the room heats up. So can we get the temperature to drop down? Put it on meat locker setting. You know that little meat locker setting right there? What are current manifestations of critical race theory? The California Department of Education is, let's say, struggling to try to understand how to teach ethnic studies to the dear, precious children of our state. In 2021, the California Department of Education approved a revised version of ethnic studies that draws heavily on critical race theory. One example of this is the New York Times 1619 Project, which communicates a racially driven view of U.S. history. You're supposed to believe that this country, from the very beginning, was founded with racial oppression in mind. What a pessimistic load of nonsense. This country was founded by people who wanted to get away from oppression. They wanted religious freedom. Don't go in there with your crayon box and draw race all over the history. No. It was a beautiful idea that started this country, not a twisted racial degradation that they want you to believe. Now, there is some good news. The California Department of Education has changed some of what has been in there over the revisions that they've done. They've done 4 revisions, and it has improved. It's become more accurate over time. But the problem is they have bought into the philosophy that education needs to be based off of race. And test scores are based off of race. What are you talking about? Test scores are based off of race. Imagine if they had let students said that when I was a kid. Oh, teacher, I got a D. It's because of the color of my skin. How stupid can teachers be to give in to that? You let a student think that? Of course they're going to say that. You say, well, this color of skin gets worse grades, and there's nothing you can do. Oh man, quick, go change your color of skin. You can get a D and it doesn't matter. You get an A automatically. I mean, these students are smart. They know how to work the system. You can't give them an excuse like that it's that simplistic. No. We need parents who are reading the Bible, who are giving a high standard to their students and say, you are going to come back with A's. Not because I want them, because God wants you to have them. He who is given little will be given much. God wants to use you for great things. Do great in school. He might use you for something. That's the mentality we need parents to give to their students, not race excuses. In 2020, another example of a current manifestation of this is Black Lives Matter. Now, of course, Black Lives Matter. White Lives Matter. Any lives matter. I'm saying put your crayon box away. Anybody made in the image of God matters. How simplistic. We're not in kindergarten no more. We just should not put up with it. People are more complicated than the color of their skin. Nobody wants to be limited and put in a box like that anyway. Black Lives Matter as an organization is completely based upon critical race theory. Their leaders are trained Marxists, and later I'm going to show you there's a sinister spiritual aspect to what they are doing. But in 2020, they rose to prominence with protests all over the country, trying to make you think that certain things happen because of race. Any thinking person realizes issues are more complicated than that. Unfortunately, they are driving it. They are riding that Marxist horse as hard as they can. Hopefully, it's going to die soon. That's what I'm praying for. Hopefully, they beat that horse so much it just dies. In recent years, there's been the Southern Baptist Convention has decided to tackle critical race theory. I printed up a paper that they wrote on critical race theory and intersectionality. So if you think this isn't impacting the church, you're naive. It is. On June 1st, 2019, they said good things. They said critical race theory and intersectionality have been appropriated by individuals with worldviews that are contrary to the Christian faith, resulting in ideologies and methods that contradict Scripture. Amen. We would certainly believe that. This stuff is junk. Why are you looking to it for guidance? Look to God's Word. But this is a problem. They wrote this, yet these analytical tools of critical race theory and intersectionality can aid in evaluating a variety of human experiences. What are you talking about? Don't go looking at broken tools for value. I mean, that's like picking a poisonous fruit and saying, it's got some protein in it. You know, there's carbs in that apple you're eating. You'll die from it, but right before you die, you're going to get a little bit of carbohydrates. You'll get some protein in there. It's 99% poison, but hey, man, there's some good. How foolish do you have to be? Why are you taking from the poison apple? It is godless. They got sucked into it. And we have to make sure as a church we're not giving that an inch of space. Don't even let yourself think that there are issues, that race is the issue of America. No, it is sin. You tell people it's not skin, it's sin. You say that with me? It's not skin, it's sin. That is the issue that you want to deal with. And if somebody brings it up, you listen nicely and you just say, it's not skin, it's sin. What? You're going to hell unless you repent of your sin and get right with God. He's not going to ask what color skin you had. He's going to say, did you get right with me? Did you realize you can't make it on your own without me? Did you realize you are lost? And I think people are wanting to know problems, and we can see there are problems in the world, but don't look for the solution only by going skin deep. You got to go deeper. You got to go to the heart of the issue, and that is the issue of sin and the need for people to be saved. So the last one I wrote there is media bias towards race. This is like a broken laundry machine where they just keep spinning the same cycle over and over again. Do they want the laundry to get clean? No. They know the laundry's not going to get clean in that new cycle. They just want to keep spinning. That's the whole point. Maybe you'll come and look at it. No. We're trying to show you, quit watching that spin cycle. It's not going to provide any solutions. The solutions are God's Word. It can take dirty laundry and make it clean. Amen? Amen. Doesn't matter how dirty you are, you can be clean by the work of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sin. Hallelujah. Why do you keep looking at the news cycle? It's the way people like to have rubber necks when they see an accident. What do people do when they drive by the road and you see an accident? What happens to the traffic? Oh, whoa. Glad it wasn't me. No, instead of rubbernecking Christians, we need to keep driving and pray for those people. Don't get rubbernecked into the news cycle. Pray that God will change the lives of people in our country, that show them this is not a race issue, it's a sin issue. It's not about skin, it's about sin. Now, just before I get to the biblical correction here, I just want to show you can give a secular, scientific correction to critical race theory. Listen to this. Genetic scientists are now calling for an end to the use of race as a way to differentiate people. Michael Udell, a professor of public health at Drexel University in Philadelphia, said, race, it's a concept we think is too crude to provide useful information. It's a concept that has social meaning that interferes in the scientific understanding of human genetic diversity, and it's a concept that we are not the first to call upon moving away from. Let's move away from race. Quit checking that box on the government documents that they send in. What does it matter what race you are? It doesn't matter. We don't want them making government policies based off of your skin. Come down and talk to me. I'll tell you how to fix it. Don't make a foolish decision that's based off of your race. Svante Paabo, a biologist and director of the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology in Germany, wrote this: "What the study of complete genomes from different parts of the world has shown is that even between Africa and Europe, for example, there is not a single absolute genetic difference." There's not even one genetic difference. Meaning no single variant where all Africans have one variant and all Europeans another one, even when recent migration is disregarded. There is no genetic difference between the people. If you give in to seeing people based off of their skin, you are acting like a little preschooler, making decisions off of what color school lunchbox your friend has. He's got Spider-Man. I've got Batman. I can choose my friends based off my lunchbox. But this is how foolish it is. There is no genetic, biological basis for differences between people based off their skin. You tell them, quit judging me by the color of my skin. Judge me by the content of my character. If you want to be superficial, in God's eyes, He's judging people off of whether they are enemies of God or whether they are saved. But if you're going to, as people, interact, look at their character. Don't look at the color of their skin. Now we get to the best part. What is the biblical correction for critical race theory? And if you're looking at your notes, there's a bunch of fill-in-the-blanks here that you can follow. The biblical correction cuts through the confusion. Praise God for that. Amen? Amen. Praise God, the Bible can cut through the confusion of critical race theory. Hebrews 4:12 says something about that. What does Hebrews 4:12 say? For the word of God is living and active, sharper than what? Double-edged sword, penetrating to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judging the attitudes and thoughts of the heart. God's word cuts through and shows people, have you been made right with Him? Have you been made right with God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is fully God, fully man, and died on the cross to save your sins? If not, you're going to die in your ignorance and rebellion. If you do believe that, you're going to have your life changed. You're not going to see people based on the color of their skin. You're going to see them as an opportunity to share the gospel. The next point, the Bible describes critical race theory as a myth that must be dismissed. I think this is helpful. You want to know the biblical term to describe CRT? Myth. Fairy tale. 1 Timothy 1:7 desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. And if you look at verse 4, so it should be 1 Timothy 1:4, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. It is a myth that just distracts people. And we cannot let it filter into the church. We do not see people based off the color of our skin here. That's just a distraction. CRT is a superficial myth. That's the note you can fill in there. CRT is superficial. It is consumed with the color of skin. And what does 1 Samuel 16:7 say? For man sees not as God sees. Man looks at the what? Outward appearance. But the Lord looks where? At the heart. CRT, we predicted you back in 1 Samuel. It's around 2,500 plus years ago. We knew what game you were going to play. You're playing the man game. You're playing look at the outward appearance game. It's foolishness. The next point is God looks at the heart. Same verse, 1 Samuel 16:7. For God sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's not a skin issue, it's a sin issue. You got to realize there's a problem with your sin. You're rebelling against God. You're trying to make your own philosophy and say it's a problem with the skin, with skin and race. No, it is sin that needs to be dealt with. And this is fascinating. Did you find it helpful? The Bible defines racism as the sin of partiality. This is a helpful thing to realize. The Bible doesn't have time for race as a category to divide people. That it's not mentioned in Scripture. Quit being racist. It's looking more generally than that. It's looking deeper than that. And James chapter 2 tells us how we are to think about this issue as believers. James 2, chapter 1, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? You want to know how the Bible talks about this idea of judging people by their skin? It is evil to do that. You are being a judge. You're putting yourself in the seat of the judge and saying, I know what's best. I know how to make rules in my court. God says, get down off that pedestal. That's my chair. God's the one who makes judgments. He's the one who's going to hold everyone accountable at the great white throne of judgment. Don't dare to become the judge yourself and say this is the problem with society. The Bible defines racism as the sin of partiality, and we need to make sure we are not taking part in that sin. This can hit each of us hard. We may give in or be susceptible to making quick judgments off of the color of somebody's skin. You got to teach yourself to not do that. You got to talk to people. You know, and it's so easy to get over. I was at the gas station just yesterday, and these two guys came in, certain color of skin. They told me later that they're getting ready for a concert. And these guys were dressed to the nines, playing loud music, pulling out their cigarettes. You could tell in their mind the concert had already started. I came outside and one guy was dancing by the pump. I just laughed and I said, are you guys in a music video right now? They said, we're getting ready to go to a concert. We're in it. Some people would just be taken aback by that. By I'm not going to talk to those kind of people. You talk to them, you realize very quickly, these guys are just confused. They need somebody to tell them, where are you going to be tomorrow? Hope you don't stay out too late to miss church. They know what is right inside. They need somebody to tell them. That is how, I saw a lady at McDonald's this morning. You could tell she is living a life that is not taking her to church. It didn't stop me from asking. Said, you going to church this morning? I was surprised because later she turned and said, God bless you. She asked me, what church is it that you're going to? You can just cut through it. Don't look at the color of people's skin. Don't look at how they dress. See where they're at with God and share the truth with them. Now, I told you I would talk about Black Lives Matter and the sinister side, and I will. This is the last point there. CRT has a sinister side. We know from Ephesians chapter 6 that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the rulers. A couple weeks ago, I was listening to a podcast about critical race theory, and my jaw almost dropped to the bottom of the van as I was driving, because they said the founder of Los Angeles chapter of Black Lives Matter starts every protest with a religious ceremony. She holds to a certain kind of folk religion in Africa where you pour out libations on the ground and then you chant the names of deceased people to bring their spirits back. Anybody getting the heebie-jeebies? They want to call the spirit of the dead person to the protest so that they will channel that energy and wreak mayhem from the other world into this world. They've got that on tape. She's doing an interview telling them, this is how we start our meetings. How many times did we hear Black Lives Matter's protests say his name, say her name? That isn't a nice remembrance of someone who recently died. That is Saul going to the Witch of Endor saying, bring Samuel back. I mean, that should freak you out. There is a demonic world going on. That woman is a witch trying to call demonic power. And how can she get away with it? I mean, wouldn't that weird out most people who go to a protest? Incantations? How do the people, that's what freaks me out. How many of the people are at the rallies going around? They think it's about race. They think we're just drawing with crayons here. We're not hurting anybody. We're not doing anything wrong. Look at the injustice that has taken place. There's injustice everywhere. We have courts to deal with injustice. We have police to go report issues to, and they come and deal with it. We don't want you drawing weird signs, pouring out water, calling evil spirits to a peaceful protest. Now, some people would hear that and say, oh, that's crazy. You crazy. We don't say that's crazy. We say that's Ephesians chapter 6. Of course, the enemy is also tied into race baiting. Of course he wants to divide people. Of course he wants to separate society. Every human is 99.9% the same DNA. Satan doesn't want you thinking about that. He wants you thinking, oh, no, we're 99% different from everybody else. And everyone's out to get you. And the ends justify the means. You get your way, whatever you want. It is wicked. I just remember reading about that, and I researched it myself. You can look up the lady's name in L.A. who is running the Los Angeles chapter of BLM. It's a spiritual world, and she's trying to use spiritual demonic power to get her way. I mean, she sold her soul to the devil. We need to be aware of that and realize it's a spiritual war out there. and we need to stand by the truth of God's word and not give an inch to wicked worldly philosophies that are just going to itch the ears of the people around us. The solution that God gives us is great, and I know many of you already know it. I never get tired of saying it, though. It is freedom in Christ. The oppression that exists in the world is from sin. From the very beginning, when Adam and Eve ate from the tree, they engulfed humanity in sin. And it is a horrible division. It is greater than any kind of class division or racial division. It is epic. It is supernatural. And it requires a supernatural solution. Only Jesus Christ can pay the debt for our sin. No government policies, no social remedies, no 1619 project is going to come set things right. No, it is the gospel. It is what Jesus Christ did for us. And we need to remember that when people come and talk to you and say, oh, you know what the problem is? You tell them, no, it is sin. And all of us suffer from it. We need to repent of our sin and be made right with God. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I hope you're pumped up today. You don't have to buy into this nonsense of critical race theory. You can know that the only critical thing we need to study is right here.
Amen.
It ain't no theory either. It's the truth. So I hope that you like this series we're in. It's called Trends versus Truth. Next week, we're going to deal with gender confusion. It's another trend. You wonder, how long can people ride that horse? And then after that, we're going to talk about feminism. It's another one that just keeps raising its head, trying to sneak in, especially into the church. We need to say, uh-uh. You're not getting an inch here. God has created us in a certain way, and we are going to live fully as He wants us to and not settle for these imitation theories that don't even give us a solution that we so desperately need.